Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week we're in chambers clearing the docket. How are you, Judge Hodgman?
Have a hockey-docky Christmas. The docket clearing time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow. So have a cup of hot Dr. Pepper. That's something you love, right, Jesse? Hot Dr. Pepper with lemon.
Can I tell you something? This just came up for me. I'm not trying to brag or buzz market here. But I'm featured in History Channel's series of specials, Christmas Through the Decades.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went in there, they gave me a list. You know, it's one of these shocking head shows, like, like I Love the 70s or whatever.
Or I love the 80s, or I love the mid-90s, especially.
Yeah, exactly. And they gave me a long list of Christmas stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because I'm a public radio host, maybe they thought I was older than I am, because almost all of the other talking heads on this thing are in their golden years. It's like Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. There's one of the Brady Bunch. Boomer Esiason, the former quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. Just people like that. So they gave me this list of things that happened in Christmas in the 50s, 60s, and 70s when I was not alive.
Mm-hmm.
And almost none of them did I have anything to say about. But on that list was Hot Dr. Pepper, which was in the 60s one. And I told them, I have had Hot Dr. Pepper.
Sure.
I am prepared to talk about Hot Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Like, I came in hot. I said, I'll talk about any of these you want. I'll make up some bon mots. I'll throw a few witticisms your way. I'll just say they're really big if you need somebody to say something's big or small or whatever. But I know about two things, Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas Special and Hot Dr. Pepper. And they did not ask me about Hot Dr. Pepper. I think they cut me out of the 60s one completely, and it was in the 60s one.
So for those of you who have not been listening from the beginning, I believe we talked about Hot Dr. Pepper with a slice of lemon. Jesse Thorne instructed me about it in one of the earliest episodes. And you know why I remember, Jesse?
Why is that, Judge Hodgman?
Because I'm your friend.
Yeah.
Because I'm your friend and I remember the things you say to me, especially when they involve the manipulation of soda pop into weird concoction and forgotten and slightly disgusting rituals of the holidays. And you told me that in the 60s, and then I've since confirmed this by looking at old magazine ads, one of my favorite things to do in life.
Yep.
Hot Dr. Pepper was a thing. Tell me more. Remind us for a moment, won't you?
So here's what you do. If you want to make some Hot Dr. Pepper at home, take this from the former president of the San Francisco High School of the Arts, Dr. Pepper Club, Jesse Thorne. You open the Dr. Pepper the night before and just let it sit open in your fridge so it goes a little bit flat.
Mm-hmm.
This is presuming you're drinking it as a morning drink.
You know what? I'm telling you right now, that would have been a step that I would have skipped. I would have thought you just started out fresh with a nice, fresh bottle, and then just throw it in the microwave until it explodes.
With
a whole lemon.
I cannot recommend.
And then you lick out the inside of the microwave, right?
No, sir. Okay. I don't think that's what you're supposed to do.
Right. You heat it. Let it go flat.
You heat it on the stovetop. Try not to boil it.
Because you don't want to develop a skin on top.
Exactly. Those proteins. And then you serve it with a wedge of lemon and use the lemon. I mean, squeeze the lemon. The lemon's an important part of it. And it's really quite good.
I may try it this year. I might give it a try.
I mean, you have to like Dr. Pepper.
I do.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, some people hate Dr. Pepper because it tastes like medicine. I like it because it tastes like medicine. I also like the taste of medicine.
Yeah, me too. Especially special medicine.
Yeah.
This goes, Dr. Pepper, like Moxie, dates back to a time when these soda pops were medicine. They were sold at the pharmacy as patent medicines. Indeed, as we all know, Coca-Cola was served as a medicinal compound of the cola nut and coca leaf. Unless you get Coca-Cola, and I like Dr. Pepper because it tastes like medicine. I like Diet Dr. Pepper. Could I do it with Diet Dr. Pepper? Because you know I'm watching my figure.
I don't think you can boil the artificial sweeteners. I don't think they react well to being boiled, if I remember correctly.
Can I do it with Moxie?
You could probably give it a try with Moxie. Then it'll taste like a combination of soda pop and bran flakes or whatever it is that Moxie tastes like.
Instead of the lemon, can I substitute Moxie and grain alcohol?
Yeah, absolutely. That's called a hot Moxie.
More holiday tips and tricks from the docket clearing chambers.
Judge Hodgman.
Not just Christmas time. May I also say to all of our listeners, happy Hanukkah. Good solstice, good Saturnalia to you. Good I don't believe in anything, non-denominational holiday cheer to you all. No, let's move on to the future. We have a docket to clear. Let's go hockey docky holiday time.
Here's something from Matt. My wife and I, along with a few friends, attended your recent show in Boston. It was excellent. We waited in line after the show to meet you. While in line, I had a piece of gum and offered pieces to the rest of my group. They accepted. Here's the issue. They took the package and paid no attention to the order in which they withdrew the pieces.
What? No attention?
The reasonable way would be to take them left to right, top to bottom. They took them willy-nilly and left me with a mess. I'm not a monster. I share with friends as manners dictate. But I do seek an injunction against my friends and fellow podcast listeners to stop withdrawing pieces at random and follow the natural order of the packaging. What kind of packaging do you think it is, Judge Hodgman? Blister pack?
Well, that's the thing with gum packages these days. It's willy-nilly. Who knows?
Yeah.
There's so many different kinds. You got your blister packs, your regular, you know what? And Jesse, by the way, we've already talked about Dr. Pepper and Moxie. I'm not going to hold back. I'm just going to mention brand names. You got your Dentine Ice denture packs. You got your Trident little tiny dried up brick of gum. You have your Dentine Ice that sort of, it opens like a little book, and then there are blister packs in there. You got your classic Juicy Fruit long sticks with that powder on the top all over it, you know. But I don't even know where this guy is coming from with regard to what package it is or what the natural order of any of these packages would be. But I have formed a verdict. Jesse, do you want to take a guess at what my correct opinion is going to be by offering your correct or incorrect opinion?
Right now, I'm thinking about Fruit Stripe gum and that crazy zebra.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of when I said Juicy Fruit. Oh boy! This is like a non-denominational holiday present to me—the chance to say all of these brand names. I feel completely liberated. Yeah, that zebra was fantastic, or zebra, as they say, as Trevor Noah says on The Daily Show. Did he have a name? I wonder.
Yeah, that is a good question.
There's no way I could find out by typing it.
You decide the case, and I'll find out if he has a name. How about that?
No, you give me your opinion, and I'm going to see. I'm going to do this.
My opinion is that it is an absurd and unreasonable thing to ask your friends to take a particular thing out of the package. And if you have a traditional stick gum, the polite thing to do is to pull a piece out slightly and offer it to them with one stick sticking out, in which case you would have control over the situation.
Yeah, that's if you absolutely need to control your gum. That's right. That's what that is. What a power play to pull out a little bit of Fruit Stripe and say, this one is for you. I picked it especially. You will see if it has poison in it. You will find out. But yes, Jesse, you're absolutely correct. Your opinion is correct. If you are the kind of person who is driven to distraction over the arrangement of gum in its package, you should not offer it to friends. Keep it for yourself in the order that makes you sleep well at night and just feel lucky that you have friends. By the way, zebra's name? Yipes.
You know, rappers contain tattoos of yipes, inline skating, playing baseball, hang gliding, playing basketball, bicycling, snowboarding, surfing, playing soccer, playing tennis, and eating grass. Which is the official extreme sport of the zebra community.
Did you find a secret Wikipedia page dedicated to Yipes the Zebra?
I'm looking at the Fruit Stripe Gum Wikipedia page, which features a subsection entitled Mascots.
Oh, there we are. This is where you learn that the character known as Fruit Stripe Gum Man promoted the product as late as 1967. Fruit Stripe Gum Man, the most unimaginative mascot of all time.
Not to mention Connor the Tiger, plus the Elephant and the Mouse, who didn't have names, apparently.
But it was the cartoon zebra named Yipes who outlasted the other characters to become Fruit Stripe's long-standing sole mascot, period. Oh, and here's the sentence you just quoted. It's so great. Well, this is another gift to ourselves. We deserve it. Let's just quote Wikipedia pages all day.
I think that would not make a bad podcast. Once a week, just one Wikipedia page, and you just read out loud the funny parts.
That would be fun. Well, maybe a new podcast coming to the Maximum Fun family. But for now, I believe we have some more justice to dispense.
Brandon writes, I seek an injunction against my girlfriend, Amy. Her family has a tradition of using special themed holiday plates on Christmas. These plates, while classy, often have images of trees or deer and have multiple varied colors. As an avid home cook, I find that food almost always looks better and cleaner on a white plate. I take pride in my presentation and often do a lot of cooking at the holidays. When Amy and I move in together in the future and begin hosting holidays, should she be allowed to pick the tableware if I'm the one doing the majority of the cooking?
Bailiff Jesse Thorne, let me say I loved your pronunciation of the word white there. I really heard that huh in the white.
I went to a theater school.
Is that so? Jesse, I have formed an opinion, one of which is Brandon's a little bit of a creep because he brought up one issue and then asked a completely different question. But I have an opinion on both the issue that he raised, which is the holiday plate issue, and then the second issue that he raised with regard to who gets to pick their tableware should they move in together in the future, which I presume means everyday tableware because I don't think they're going to be using holiday plates all year long. But before I reveal my correct verdict, Jesse, do you have a thought how I'm going to rule?
My vision is clouded by jealousy and envy of people who live in places where their homes are so vast that they have china cabinets that allow for seasonally themed china sets. That's amazing to me. Mm-hmm. I have one set of dishes. Like my mom is an antique dealer part-time, and she'll occasionally come across a really nice set of china and call me and say, do you want special occasion china? And I don't have somewhere to put it. I have nowhere to put it.
Right.
So I am so jealous that someone would not only have special occasion dishes, but also have seasonally specific special occasion dishes.
Sure.
My inner Martha Stewart is green with envy right now.
Some people in states like Minnesota or any other state that isn't Los Angeles City State or New York City State, they have homes. They might even have a room just for tableware. You know what I'm saying?
They have outbuildings. I've seen American Pickers.
Sure. You might have a china shed in your backyard.
I'll tell you, if I lived in one of those places, you bet I'd have a china shed.
Absolutely. They'd call you. There's China Shed Jesse. That would be your nickname. Yeah, but it wouldn't even be that because it would be so normal. It would be just calling you Mr. Jesse.
And then the American Pickers would come over and they'd say, hey, this is a nice China Shed, but where's all the Petroliana? And I would say, sorry, guys, China Shed only.
It's been a while since I've watched American Pickers. Do they actually call it Petroliana, or is that your term for the gas station junk that they are so convinced people in the world want to buy from them and probably do?
They totally call it Petroliana, but they generally prefer to call it like transportation collectibles or something because it sounds less ridiculous.
So I will now rule on both issues. One, if Brandon is making dinner, be it a holiday dinner or a non-holiday dinner, he should absolutely be allowed to choose the plates that he is using to serve the food on. If, on the other hand, Amy is cooking and she has brought some ugly holiday plates with her from her family home or bought her own, she can choose to serve mashed potatoes and what have you on the butt of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This goes to settled law in the court of Judge Sean Hodgman. The person who does the work gets to decide. Settled law, as you might have seen on a t-shirt or a poster or a tea towel over at tapatico.com in the Judge John Hodgman store. As far as going forward, who should pick the tableware? If you guys are moving in together, you must come to an agreement upon the tableware. And I think that it is perfectly reasonable to say, I am willing to compromise in terms of shape and heft and every other aspect of the tableware, but I must insist that the plates be white because that's what I like. And I mention that because, A, that's a reasonable compromise, and B, because plates should be white. Do you disagree, Jesse? Should plates be different colors?
My plates are blue, Judge Hodgman.
All right.
I have some nice Heath ceramics plates. Got them on Craigslist.
Yeah, now that I think about it, we're rocking a bunch of Rowan Trees pottery plates from Maine, and not one of them is white. But if I had my druthers, they would be. Or maybe a pale eggshell.
I have to say this. I love Christmas, and as much as I understand the idea that he wants to plate this food beautifully for his relatives, I think he should probably ease off the throttle a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying you should order him to do so. I'm saying as a matter of courtesy, ease off the throttle a little bit and just enjoy the fact that they have a special set of plates with deers on them just for Christmas. Christmas is great. I love Christmas.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If he's going over to Amy's family's house for holiday supper, he can't tell them what plates to serve it on. It'll be on those janky, weird Christmas plates, no matter what, right? So the question is, if he's serving Christmas dinner and they're all coming over to his house, doesn't he have the right to choose what plate he uses?
Yes, I think he has the right to, but I think were I in his position, I would respect my wife's wish to choose festive tableware over the tableware that most highlighted my molecular gastronomy or nouveau cuisine or whatever it is that he's doing that where plating is so important.
There's no question that he's a pretentious snob.
He's piping sauces over things.
Yeah, and different foams, right? Yeah. And, you know, I'm surprised he didn't manage to mention sous vide cooking somewhere in this thing. But to me, this is all, that's all a smokescreen for the fact that he just finds these plates ugly and doesn't ever want to see them. And I guess on some level, even having not seen them, I agree with him. And so I stand by my verdict, which is if he is serving holiday dinner, he should serve it on sterile white plates and make everyone as miserable as he is in his heart. But if he's going over to their house for dinner, he can't complain about these plates. He's got to eat what's served before him by the person who did the work, just like every child. And then I guess going forward, you know what? I take back my verdict. I know that you want white plates, and if you can sell Amy on that, fine. But you should be open to what Amy and her family background has to offer. How does that sound, Jesse?
That sounds pretty good to me.
Bah humbug. No, I take it back. White plates only for you, Brandon. You deserve it.
you and your subscription to Lucky Peach magazine deserve
solid, it. Solid, or okay, solid colors. But patterns on plates. Bleh. I'm with him on this one. I'm sorry.
We'll be back with more Judge John Hodgman in just a second. You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join. And you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right, I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In, because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton, or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I've got, and I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Welcome back to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. We're clearing the docket. Judge Hodgman, you have a nice break?
Just now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I went to Western Massachusetts. I finally saw Ant-Man starring Paul Rudd.
Uh-huh. I've heard that's really fun.
I heated up a lot of leftovers and started doing some early, or I should say now, rather late holiday shopping. It was fun. And then I came back here to help clear the docket.
Hey, I want to plug something before we clear the docket all the way out. I, as you know, am the proprietor of the menswear blog Put This On.
I do know.
We have an online shop that is full of beautiful holiday gifts for the gentleman in your life, or the less than gentleman. It's at putthisonshop.com. And I will say that I will make the code BATBROTHERS for free shipping from that shop.
Why not?
So, yeah, Put this on shop.com.
Well, you know what? I just navigated to it, and I already see that the floral indigo Japanese burrow and silk scarf is sold out, and I would have bought that in a second. I better get on this right away.
Yeah, you got to get up in there. There's a few other burrow scarves. Okay, here we go from Yvette. I bring the case against my younger sister, Kimberly. Kimberly is a very fun and sweet 10-year-old girl, and we get on extremely well. She's great company for anyone, aside from the fact that she is a loud sneezer. I would say an excessively loud sneezer. I think it's possible to control how you sneeze. In fact, I've trained myself to sneeze with perfect daintiness. I used to be a dramatic sneezer until I grew up. I'm now 23. That, by the way, is not my added inflection. Grew up is in capital letters.
Sure.
And realized that dramatic sneezing is downright annoying. She apparently moved on to dramatic capital letter use. My sister and my parents get upset when I reprimand her for sneezing too loudly, but her loud sneezes are hurting my ears and tainting her generally lovely character. Wow, it's a character issue.
Sure.
I ask that the judge rule that she, one, acknowledge that it's possible to control how you sneeze, and two, practice her sneezing until she's able to sneeze more quietly and sweetly.
Jesse Thorne, have you practiced your sneeze?
Yeah, I went to theater school, Judge Hodgman.
And what does it sound like?
I just go, phew.
Me too. I go, phew.
Mine is actually a lot of times people will say, is there a sweet songbird in the room with me right now? And I'll say, no, no, no. It's simply seasonal allergies.
I am deeply attuned to this issue because, for one, I have a monstrously loud sneeze if I am not paying attention. If I am alone in the house and not paying attention, my sneeze will sound more like the guttural yell of a man who is being murdered. Ah! It's more or less my sneeze. And this alarms all humans, including me. And I realize I wish I had not done that. And the fact that I don't do it all the time, I think, proves that Yvette is correct. You can train yourself to sneeze in a certain way. I'm also attuned to this because there is a young person in my home who pays no rent and is related to me. I won't reveal who he is, but he is one of my two children, the one who is the boy. Can I guess?
Is it Johnny Depp?
Yes, that's right. He's my distant cousin. He lives in my house, and he's got a terrible, terrible habit of snorting during dry winter months. Just really gross noises all the time. And it is heartbreaking because, of course, this is Johnny Depp is a young person.
Yeah.
You don't want to overly criticize Johnny Depp because it might impede Johnny Depp's development as he grows up into a full human being. And this is actually appropriate for Johnny Depp, because even though he is older than I am, I think he's still far from being a grown-up.
And I've met Johnny Depp. He's been over to my house when you and your wife came for dinner, and he's a generally very well-mannered young man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's not – he knows enough not to make the noises that he's making in public, but only when Johnny Depp is at home quietly watching Adventure Time by himself. And then it will get quite loud as he attempts to clear phlegm from the various cavities in his head. And it is gross. And it is gross. And you don't ever want to tell Johnny Depp, you know what, Johnny Depp, you're being gross. But then you realize that you have to. Sometimes you have to tell Johnny Depp, you're being gross. You know, and the reason that Johnny Depp knows not to do this in public or at school anymore is because he had people, grown-ups who lived with him, who were able to say to him, that's something like burping or farting that you have to do in private. You can't just let her rip all the time. Now, this is not a sneeze. A sneeze is a semi-involuntary action. But if any of you have listened to this podcast for more than 2 or 3 weeks in a row, you know that I have a terrible problem with coughing. Sometimes I go into coughing fits and I need to take a break from the show. And what I do whenever possible, and Jesse, you can attest to this, is I put on my mute button and I go take care of my business in private and quiet. It is important, and perhaps the most important rule of grown-ups who live with young people like Johnny Depp, or even their own children who are developing, to help them be in the world. That is to say, don't bend the world around the whims and needs of your children, but train them slowly, affectionately, gently, to appreciate that they sometimes have to bend their behavior to the world of civilized human beings around you. Sneezes are involuntary, and you can't always control the level at which they come out, but you can control them a certain bit. And what I suspect is happening here, Yvette, is that you are 23 and your sister is 10. That's a 13-year difference. Perhaps there's a half-sister situation or a second marriage, or perhaps your parents just had a child much later in life than they expected to, and now that child is 10 years old, and she is getting to be a teenager, and soon they will be. She will be leaving their world to some degree within 10 years or so, and their last grasp on youth and vitality will slip through their fingers, and they relish every moment of it, even the loud sneezes, and they don't want you to interfere with that. But Yvette's younger sister, Kimberly, you got to take it down a notch with your sneezing, I'm telling you. It's gross to yell sneeze at the table. Do it privately. But try to find a way to just take it down a little bit. Cover your mouth, sneeze politely. I think it can be done. Am I a monster for ordering a 10-year-old? Perhaps. But you look at Johnny Depp, that guy's got a career now. Because I told him to stop snorting in front of everybody all the time.
Here's something from Brandon.
Brandon's back.
I love my wife, but I detest one thing that she does.
Oh, this is a different Brandon from the one whose girlfriend is Amy. Or maybe it's the same Brandon who's living a extremely libertine lifestyle.
I think we can presume that this is a side family issue for Brandon.
Okay, cool.
I love my wife, but I detest one thing that she does. She constantly asks me why I'm going on such long business trips.
And bringing my white plates with me.
She will leave the toothpaste in the shower.
What?
I find this not only weird, but incredibly gross. She thinks this is the best place, since it's where she does all of her body cleaning. I think that the toothpaste should be in the cabinet next to the sink.
Is she cleaning her body with toothpaste?
The shower is a terrible place to put toothpaste. The toothpaste cap is often slightly open, and chemicals that should not be in your mouth could get in. Please enjoin my wife from keeping the toothpaste in the same spot as where people clean their butt.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think...
The whole bathroom technically is a butt cleaning area.
Yeah. You can't define the shower to the simple purpose of butt cleaning. That you're really giving short shrift to the range of important activities that go on in the shower. And maybe you're thinking about it a little too much, Brandon. But before I give you my verdict, Jesse, do you have a verdict of your own to offer?
I don't understand how it got in there. Is she one of these people that brushes their teeth in the shower? If yes,
I think that's what you have to presume.
If yes, I honestly kind of admire that. I think that's fun. I think that's pretty neat. I like it when I hear about people who brush their teeth in the shower.
I'd never heard of it before.
I think there must be a compromise, which is they each have their own tube of toothpaste.
I don't think that that's going to do it for Brandon.
Well, that's Brandon's deal.
We don't believe in compromise on this show. Someone is right and someone is wrong.
Yeah, then I think it's gross and weird.
There is something gross about it, I have to say. But is it gross because it is empirically gross, or is it just ahead of its time?
Is this a disruptive thing? Like, no. Should we not be regulating it?
Oh, I see what you mean.
A
positive. Is she a shower technology disruptor?
Exactly.
Should we, as representatives of a fake court system, be in the business of regulating innovation within the shower?
Precisely.
Well, I will say that most of Brandon's arguments are bogus. As we have established, the shower is for much, much more than butt cleaning. And if you only think that it's for butt cleaning, then Brandon, I think you're showering wrong. Saying the argument that the toothpaste is going to be contaminated by other chemicals is specious at best. What chemicals were we talking about? Shampoo, right?
I don't know. What do you use to wash? I use Fahrenheit.
Right. Anything that you would traditionally use in the shower that gets into the toothpaste, worst possible scenario, I'm talking about shampoo, conditioner, soap, anything in there, you could, I'm not encouraging you to do this, but you could probably swallow a teaspoon of it and you'd be fine. I don't think they're putting a lot of toxic stuff into the stuff that you're using in your butt cleaning stall, aka shower. Now, that said, please don't, children, don't immediately stop your cars, pull into the nearest butt cleaning stall center and start guzzling shampoo all day long because I told you to. Don't do it. But I'm saying I don't see a world in which that's a real problem. And finally, I think the only thing that Brandon is really upset about here is a more metaphysical issue. He's unable to deal existentially with the crossing of the streams, as it were, the toothpaste stream and the shampoo stream. Something about it just rubs him the wrong way. And I have to confess, it does me too. But I can't order her not to brush her teeth in the shower. She's saving time. We as a society need to see where this is going to go.
I don't think anyone should ever ban anything as cool as someone brushing their teeth in the shower. That's like something Magnum PI does.
That said, and at the risk of this family podcast going a little further into the gross realm, if what Brandon is saying is that she is using toothpaste to clean her butt, then I agree. Let's not do that anymore. That's probably bad for your butt.
Yeah, it's probably true.
I rule in the favor of shower toothpaste wife.
We've got one more here. It's from Ken. I suggested to my friend recently that David Mitchell should appear on the Judge John Hodgman podcast, as both PCs, each coming from a different legal system, would be interesting. David Mitchell being a British comedian who appeared as the PC in the British Mac versus PC advertisements.
And PC being the character I played in the American Get a Mac versus PC advertisements of almost a decade ago. Just for those of you who have no idea, I'm willing to accept that there are humans who don't know what we're talking about now, sadly.
Yeah, it is pretty sad to know that there are people out there who haven't seen Peep Show yet. This led to the discussion of whether or not Mitchell or Hodgman may even legally refer to the use of potential non-Apple products. He says Apple can demand they not bring it up. That seems like an unreasonable contractual demand. Is this true? Who is right? I actually, before we started this show, Judge Hodgman made me sign a contract that said that I should never admit that I once owned a Windows phone. That's a true story that I just made up.
I wish I could tell you that I'm laughing, but I'm crying. Ken, you have no idea how much I wish I was in a contract with Apple demanding that I never mention a non-Apple product. You have no idea, because that would mean I'm still in a contract with Apple.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty good job.
You know what, Jesse? I love making a podcast with you. I love working on The Daily Show. I love everything that I do very much. I loved the guest spot on the NBC hit television show Blind Spot that I just filmed over the past 2 weeks, created by my bored to death friend, Martin Guerra. Watch it in the new year. I mean, watch the show whenever you want. It's still on, but I won't be on it till the new year. And I won't say no more. But yeah, those ads that I did for 4 years, 2006, we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of the first recording of it, which was in April of 2006. And then it came out in May of 2006. And the last one we shot was in January of 2010 and transformed my life in so many ways. Most importantly, with great friendships with Phil Morrison, the director, and obviously Justin Long, the Mac.
And of course, Grace. Putty from Seinfeld.
Oh, Putty. Oh my God. That's right. What's his name? Brock Mayhem?
Yeah, exactly.
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just so many great memories and such a good time and maybe the greatest job I ever had. I would do it in one white hot second to do it again. And so, yeah, I wish that that Apple could ban me and David Mitchell from talking about non-Apple products, but they have moved on, as it happens in life. No hard feelings. I would be sad if they were just rehashing the same old ad campaign 10 years later. Sad, but very happy at the same time. But sad. It's better for them and better for all of us that we move on. And the only thing I don't wish more would be that David Mitchell come on this podcast, because I think he's a genius and I would love for him to do it. So maybe we could reach out to him and see if that could happen.
That would be pretty amazing. David Mitchell was once on The Sound of Young America, my public radio show, under the name that preceded Bullseye, and was delightful.
Yeah. So if any of you don't know what we're talking about, go to your Netflix or a streaming and stealing center near you and look up that Mitchell and Webb, the comedic duo of which David Mitchell is one half, and their sitcom Peep Show, or their sketch show That Mitchell and Webb Look, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Particularly enjoy the sketch called Number Wang.
Yeah, just Google Number Wang right now. If you haven't seen Number Wang, your priorities in life are a disaster.
Yeah, remember when
you are a pile of, I mean, you are not living your best life. Oprah would be very upset with you.
Remember when we told you about Brass Eye and you went and streamed and stole that? Look, now you're a different person and a better one. Just do everything we say. Go watch Mitchell and Webb, drink some hot Dr. Pepper with lemon. If you're 21 or older and doing so responsibly, heat up some Moxie and add a little grain alcohol or whiskey. See what that tastes like. Gross. Serve food on decorative plates if that's what your girlfriend wants. And generally and sincerely, have a very happy and healthy holiday at the end of 2015 from your friend, representative of fake internet law, Judge John Hodgman, and his friend. What's your name again?
Ah, boy. My mom gave it to me. Jesse Thorne.
Jesse Thorne, bailiff Jesse Thorne. Have a hockey-docky Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
Our producers, Julia Smith, editor Mark McConville, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO to submit your case. Like us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter, at Hodgman and at Jesse Thorne. Like us on Facebook. Join us on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com. And we'll talk to you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Oh, bad mic skills. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.